Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 399. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
399? Are you out of your mind?
I think we might be.
I was going to say, like, yeah, pretty sure.
Pete is here as well.
Oh, I am.
Jeff is inebriated and unable to talk currently, so.
I feel like it gives him a chance to calm down, so.
He'll finally get over the fact that Sony screwed him again over his own stupidity.
He has zero luck with technology, so.
And zero patience.
Yeah, although.
I have to know if that man ever had bought a 360 that red ring. Like, I just imagine him throwing it out of the window the first second. Like,
I'm pretty sure that one of his did red ring.
I'm surprised he ever bought an Xbox again. Like,
yeah. Although I will say that, like, when you boot up, like, I know that some people just don't have the connection problems with the PSN, and
yeah, I'm one of them. Yeah,
yeah, but when you boot that up and like a half a gig download. Says 6 hours, like that's super frustrating.
Sure, yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't take 6 hours. Sometimes it takes 12. Sometimes it takes 25 minutes. But literally, half a gig download shouldn't take very long at all. Like, I can download a whole album of songs that's multiple albums in less than 10 minutes, and ends up being more space than that. It's weird how it doesn't affect everybody, but
luck of the draw, or
yeah,
bad luck of the draw, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, if there's going to be a problem, Jeff will be the one.
Jeff will find it
every single time without fail.
It's like I think he had the problem with the Joy-Cons with the Switch. He definitely had the drift problem with the PSVR.
The man's luck knows no limits.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof, rather.
I think his first Xbox One, there was a problem with it. He just doesn't have any luck. And today, like, I guess his headset, first phone went bad. Like, he's just on a real weird streak. But, so it's the three of us tonight in, one episode before episode 400. Hopefully.
Four of us.
Four of us tonight as Fozzie has jumped on.
Yes.
Wild Fozzie has appeared.
Me?
Yeah, we have one episode. This is the last episode before episode 400. So.
Before the end of the show, where that's it, guys. It's the last episode. Over. We're not even going to bother with 400. Like, none of us could think of any ideas, so it's done.
No ideas, so we're just calling it a day.
Faye takes 400 shots.
if he was here and you said that, he would be game for it, and that scares me.
Good thing.
Yeah.
He would be like, all right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then he'd get to, like, I don't know, shot 15 and pass out.
It's still fun if he doesn't vomit on podcasts, so, like.
I do. I don't know. I think Tony Fozzie, you might have been on it as well, but the Teabag Radio 10th episode, which was like there was like 40 of us on that mm-hmm. show, but Dub passed out.
Rub a dub, Dub.
That was a good one. He woke up like an hour later under his desk.
Was the podcast still going on?
At that point, I think it had ended, but
okay, God, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, it was a good time. So stuff's been going on in the world of games. God of War reviews are out; they seem pretty good.
Yeah, it's Metacritic. Last I had checked, was sitting at around 93. I don't know if that's changed, but
that's a pretty good.
Guess Yuzu has done everything that people wanted it to.
Yeah, I was talking with Tony a bit before The show started, but I am a little leery about the comparisons to Dark Souls combat. But...
Everyone has said that those are wrong, and no one knows like why that is.
Why they're saying that?
Yeah, they're like, this game is not like that. Like, comparisons to Dark Souls are just because it has a guy that can roll to dodge does not mean it's Dark Souls.
Holy shit, it's Dark Souls.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, no, it's the combat is much more. They said it's more skill based and less, less like combo based.
Yeah, but in Smashy, it's like you could get through those original God of War games, kind of just like mashing buttons and.
Yeah, and they were like, it's more about knowing the kind of enemy you're going up against, and I guess like applying the correct skills and stuff.
Okay, maybe that's where they're comparing it to Dark Souls, I guess.
Maybe.
Whatever.
It's pouring out there.
Yeah, so God of War looks pretty good. But what have you guys been playing? Because that's not out till next week, so...
Dude, I haven't been playing anything.
Really?
No. Like, nothing. I actually don't remember... Okay, I lied. A couple days ago, I played some Mario, but I played for like half an hour, and then I was like, I just want to watch TV.
Right, because you got a Switch.
Yeah. My brother bought ARMS, so I guess in the last 3 weeks since it's been that we podcast, I have played ARMS. And ARMS is, you know, a game for the Nintendo Switch.
Wait, it is?
That's what they tell me, but I'm still unsure.
That's the ribbon fighting game, or...
Yeah, it's actually, like, not as bad as
you fight ribbons?
You fight with ribbons.
Ribbons and springs and other stretchy things, right?
Yeah. It actually has a deep sense of humor. It just has the most obnoxious soundtrack I've ever seen in a video game. Like you thought that the menu music to Marvel vs. Capcom 2 got repetitive and annoying? Oof. This is a whole new ballgame.
But, so what do you think of Mario, though?
I don't know. It's still Mario. It's fine. I haven't really, like... I only briefly played a little bit of the Snow Kingdom, like, right after... New Donk City. I didn't even finish New Donk City. It was just like, you have enough moons, and I was like, peace.
Moving on.
I'm not gonna bother. Like I haven't done the festival yet because I don't play the game with headphones on.
Okay.
And I would like to hear that at some point. I'm just lazy and don't feel like I like to watch TV or multitask while I'm playing the Switch. So.
Got it. I mean, it is designed for that. So.
Right. But otherwise, yeah. I mean, it's Mario. I don't know. I haven't found anything worth playing yet. I want to play Minute because Minute seems really cool. And I want to play God of War and stuff. Thankfully, I get paid tonight, so I will probably have stuff to say about God of War later.
Yeah,
smart.
Excited about God of War. We'll be talking about that for. Part of episode 400, I'm sure. So, Fozzie, what have you been playing?
Fortnite.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Me too.
Fortnite. The fuck happened to you? No.
I've been playing a lot of Fortnite.
They introduced an item that totally negates the need for doing the thing I hate most in the game, which is building.
So. Building a fort.
Which is nice. I feel like it was like made for like old people like myself, because I play on the PS4, which makes it really difficult, because I guess on PC you can press Q and then you'll have... It's totally customizable as far as how you want to like keep the building. So when you watch all these people like with their insane builds, it's because they're playing on PC,
yes,
and they can build super quick. But on PS4, it's like a slow grind. It's like you have to press something, and then you have to press like L1 or R1 to switch around, and then you have to get to it. It's like it's not intuitive at all.
I kind of agree with you that the building is rough, but I've seen people build fucking amazing structures super fast. It's like, how are they doing that?
I don't know. Oh yeah, and you're still going. I'm sure that, you know, you can get better as you start like to feel more comfortable with it, but I don't know. It's just what happened is I have a separate group, let's call them like Like, they're like the Drake version of gamers, right? They're not really gamers. They play like one or two games, and they play that game religiously. So they're always playing Call of Duty. And so I'll play with them, but I don't play nearly
as much. But you don't enjoy it.
They prestige like 5 or 6 times. I'm like level 30 or something. So I really don't play that much. But I've convinced them to switch over to Fortnite, and they've all become hooked on it. So it's great because now we can start playing something that I like. And then hopefully I still kind of like PUBG. I like the fact that it's a little bit more of a thriller. I don't know. I mean, obviously you can play PUBG really like gun-ho.
It's that slow burn.
But like with Fortnite, there's much slower burn. Yeah, and with Fortnite, like you can just like kind of run around, and if you're a good enough builder, you always have that like in the back of your head, you know? You can be like, "Oh fuck, like someone's shooting at me. I better just start building." Like, and I think that's the main issue that I have with the game is that I think I need to start building first before I try to shoot something. And then, but because there's no other game kind of like it, it's kind of hard to get into that mindset. Cause I just want to like shoot a guy, but then you remember, oh, I have all these other like things at my disposal. So it's cool in that way.
Yeah. And if you don't take them down, like if you take that shot cause they don't know you're there and you don't take them down really quickly, they have structures up and
They have structures and the really good ones. They'll know how to like, you know, get above you and like shoot you from up top. Yeah. And like, it's almost like they can just troll you because like those really good builders, like I know that I've watched myself like just struggle and try and shoot them while they're just jumping around building stuff and shit. So it's, that's the thing I like about PUBG is that I feel like I have more of a chance even being someone that doesn't play PUBG that much, but the fact that I can kind of just slowly creep around and, you know, look at my environment, see what's there. It's nice. And I like I kind of miss the cars. Like, I like the fact that you can get a car and then it gets kind of crazy and it's a ton of fun shooting other people in cars. So,
The vehicles is something that it's missing. It doesn't need them because it's the map isn't that big,
right?
But it is like it is something that I think would add something to the game. Like,
yeah, and if not a vehicle, I don't know something, but like maybe like a jetpack. I don't know. But
There are jetpacks in Fortnite.
Jetpacks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
I have not come across one.
Maybe they're adding one, but I know that like I remember there was a big thing.
Yeah, there's a jump pad which will shoot you up into the air, and you can then like use your glider again. But haven't come across anything that lets me fly. I've been playing it with my kids. Both on, like, my son's been playing it since it came out last summer, it came out like a month or two after PUBG kind of hit big. And he's been playing it since then, but my daughter just started playing it. She's been playing it on her phone, and it's surprisingly competent on the phone.
I've heard that, which sounds pretty cool.
I think it does suffer from some, like, sometimes, like, it wants you to hit things, and, like, I'll accidentally shoot my gun because I'm trying to open a chest, because tapping on the screen will fire your gun, but you're also, like, trying to tap to hit the hand icon to open it up, and, like, that puts you in a bad spot because you don't want to make noise in that game because it alerts people, and especially on the phone where you can actually play that game without sound because it gives you indicators like footstep indicators. Ooh. or bullet like firearm indicators and the direction they're coming in. So I've been playing that a little bit with my daughter. We came in second last night. in a squad match, so that was cool. We haven't won because I suck at building, but I've come in second a bunch of times, so I'll take that.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Did you buy the battle pass?
I have not. I don't know. I probably will eventually.
I ended up getting it last week. And I've actually, it's $10, and I've actually already earned enough that, like, I've made that $10 back.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because you, like, each tier, they'll give you, like, 100 of the V-Bucks. Yeah. And you can earn them in the free tier as well, but, I've earned enough that, like, I've actually made my $10 back, so.
So, you know, these free-to-play games, they have something going on pretty well there.
Yeah.
You know, they're just obviously, I can't even imagine the amount of money that.
It's a stupid insane. Amount of money.
It's insane, yeah.
And they've done something really cool with it, like where, I guess, like because it signs in to an Epic account, I guess it links. All right, to
is
it.
Somebody's phone going off, and it sounds like a Star Trek thing?
What,
Tony?
No.
Are you in Star Wars?
No.
Okay.
I am, however, conquering Europe right now.
Yep, that sounds like being conquered.
Epic ties everything to their Epic account, so I can play on my phone. I can play on the Xbox, I can play on PC.
Have you played on the phone yet? I'm curious how that
works. It works. That's actually how my daughter like plays, because she's not very comfortable with the controller. So she plays on her phone. So I've played that way with her. And then my son plays on the Xbox, so we've played that way as well. But all my progress carries over, like, no matter where I'm playing. Like, if I want to jump on with Fozzie, I could do that, and I could still make progress.
Yeah.
On my battle pass, or I could play on the PC, or which I guess playing on the PC, I could play with everybody except
me on PlayStation, or Fozzie on PlayStation.
Well, I could play with you guys on PlayStation, but then I couldn't play with my son on Xbox, right?
I'm saying from an Xbox. Yeah.
Yeah. No, from the Xbox, I can play with everybody. But PS4, and then with PS4, I can play everybody except Xbox. And then PC, I can play with everybody, but I can't play PS4. I can't have like a friend on PS4 and on Xbox. So, it's kind of cool. So, it's weird that it's blown up like as much as it has, though.
It helps to be free.
It does. Yes,
the price is very inviting.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at all these games. Fuck. I mean, I hate to say it, but like free to play is like kind of where you go. Look at Rocket League. Like Rocket League was able to do something crazy where it was free to play at first, and then they kind of just exploded with all these like different types of cars with different companies, and now they're charging $20, and then they put it on all the platforms, and everyone gets it because it's like $20, whatever. I got it on the Switch.
So smart, and it's. Crazy the people that like you don't like, as you said, Fyle, like people that don't really play a whole lot of games. But like we had my youngest daughter's birthday party, and one of my wife's friends who's a teacher, she doesn't know anything about games, but my son was playing it in the other room, and she was like, oh, that's that game that my students were talking about, like that's the game that they were playing on their phone, like
hell.
Like, so there it's like, go. It's permeated like everywhere. It's nuts. You play anything else, Fozzie?
I played one other game. This is a weird game. It's called Metropolis Lux Skirtia. So there's a demo for it on the Nintendo Switch. And it's kind of like Sin City-esque as far as the kind of the storyline. It's not like animated or anything. It's just comic book, essentially. But it's got like full voiceovers, and the voiceovers are actually pretty good. It's $7.99. And it's kind of got like multiple endings, so depending on how you go about things. It's the combat itself is not great. It's kind of like a match three, so kind of, I guess, if you will, like Battle Chef Brigade.
Oh yeah, buddy. Now you're talking about language.
Yeah, but this is it's a lot worse than that. It's not a great game. It is only $8. If you're looking for something, it's super mature.
All style, no substance kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird though. It's got naked women on it and in it, and it's a Nintendo Switch game. I'm like, oh, okay, this is weird. This is on Nintendo, but
see, Pete didn't mention that as a selling point last time.
Yeah,
you needed to emphasize that. That should have been rude.
Oh, for Battle Chef Brigade.
That's right.
I don't know if that has.
I mean, there is like a super hot orc dude in there, so if that's your jam, then you know, go for it.
I mean, who's not into super hot orcs?
Orc in a bikini, baby. Yeah,
dude, man. Apparently, these days in 2018, there's no such thing as not being into something. So,
nice fangs, yeah.
Hey, man, even the Thing from the Fantastic Four has found his people, if you know what I mean. So.
I'd rock that.
Tony, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Divinity Original Sin 2.
Oh yeah.
I'm about 20 hours into it now, although I still haven't left the first area. I could have. I elected not to. I was like, my characters are really low level. Let's play some other stuff. Also, you start off the game with all of your characters are wearing these collars that don't let them use their source powers.
The fucking magic collars. And yeah.
Once you finally figure out how to get rid of the collars, you go from like, oh, this game was really tough to, oh, this game is still pretty tough, but not quite as tough as it was before. Yeah, it's really hard. The battles all require a lot of like energy and effort to figure out. Like, you're not going to blaze through this game like you would like a what's that EA like Dragon Age, where you like kind of like wipe the floor with everybody. Like, every combat is like a fight to the death, and everything seems to be tooth and nail. There's a couple times I've made it through battles where I've had to resurrect the other three members of my party because they all died. Like, and I won on the last turn with my last guy. So everything feels really tough and really hard, but also very satisfying. And you could pull off a lot of really cool moves in the battle. Like, one of my characters has a teleportation glove, and I'm always using it to, like, you have, I guess it takes like 3 turns to recharge, but you can like teleport people around, like leaving your enemies in the fire. Or like move a like an explosive barrel next to them and drop it in the fire and like use it as a bomb. And the game is all about like thinking about how you can use the environment to your best advantage. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. It's really tactical in that kind of way. So far, I'm really enjoying it. It's really cool. I look forward to getting out of the first area and like finding like the real world.
Prepare for the other 80 hours.
Right. Well, basically, you're like stuck in this fort where you kidnapped to stay in the beginning of the game. So I haven't gone to like a real town yet. My characters are all equipped with stuff I found, which meant that like for the first like 10 hours of the game, half of my characters are wearing like rags and not armor.
How overleveled do you think that this starting area makes you? Or do you think that you'll be
know that it makes me overleveled. I really, having played the previous game and like even fighting some of the battles I'm fighting now, I don't think I'll be overleveled. I do think the start to this game is really brutal.
Okay. Because it's funny you mentioned Dragon Age. So Dragon Age Inquisition had a problem where if you did everything you were supposed to do in the Hinterlands, like,
yeah,
you came out like 5 levels higher than the rest of the game for the longest time.
That would be annoying. Like even in a battle where in this game, even in a battle where you seem like you're overleveled, it's still hard. You still have to pay attention because the enemies are smart about how they do things. The AI, for some reason, is really well designed. So they'll act in concert. They'll do everything they can to throw you off your game every time. Like I've had a character be like, okay, the next time this character moves, he's going to take out three guys. And of course, every time the enemy moves, they do something to like stun him or like freeze him, like every time. Like, so I'm sitting there and this character's like next four turns all get skipped. Because they just keep whacking him with abilities that are going to stop him from moving. So the game is kind of playing chess with you in that kind of way. So it makes everything really interesting and fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm playing Madden again.
Yeah. Really
pretty on the Xbox One X. Very, very pretty. I just won the Super Bowl again. Tom Brady retired, though. I'm very sad.
Well, it had to happen.
Good. It was for the best.
Well, I still have very Garoppolo, good. Though. I didn't trade him to San Francisco, so.
There you go. So you have a pretty decent backup, and
we'll be okay.
Fill in his shoes.
That's right.
I played Never Alone, which is the Inuit side scroller.
Yeah.
Came out a couple of years ago. You play as a little girl, and she has like a little fox friend.
Ooh.
And it takes place in like a northern Alaska. The game itself is fine. Like it's a pretty simple puzzle platformer. But what's cool about it is there's these like pretty easy to get collectibles. You catch these owls, and when you do that, it unlocks a 2 to 5 minute video that is about the native people of Alaska, and it's like different aspects of their culture each time you get one. And I think there's like 24 of them or something like that. So it's this really like there's this like basically full length documentary that comes with the game. That you can get as you play. And the story is based on a folklore that has been passed down orally. And they've taken that story and made it into a game. It's pretty cool. They said pretty easy. Like you could beat it in like one or two sessions. And there's a DLC expansion that tells another like folklore story starring the same two characters. And that'll take you, that's like one sitting, like maybe an hour, hour and a half. But I think it might be on Game Pass. So
yes.
That's a,
ooh,
that might be something that people might want to try out. I also played Quantum Conundrum, which I'm not sure if I got through Game Pass or if, was that maybe a Games of Gold?
I think it was a free game. Yeah. It was Games of Gold.
Yeah, so that's the Kim Swift, who she was one of the co-creators of Portal. It's a game like that where, it's puzzle rooms, basically. But instead of portals, there are different dimensions that you deal with. So you can make things like really light, or you can make things really heavy, or gravity can be funky, or you can play with time. And as it goes on, you're like mixing and matching these. So you're doing things with the fluffy dimension, which is the light dimension, and then like throwing things and then making them heavy so they bust through other things. Like it's a pretty cool like puzzle game. If you're into like Portal or those types of games, it's maybe worth a shot. And I finished Minecraft Story Mode, which is the Telltale.
Which both seasons or just
just the first season, which was 8 episodes long.
Okay.
But that was just fun. It's cute.
How is that? My son was like, I want more Minecraft stuff, and I'm like, can I unleash this upon you?
Yeah, I mean it's.
I think it's meant to be played by children.
Yeah, it's very much like a Saturday morning cartoon type thing. where you know you create the main character, but all the other characters are constant. They're all very cartoony. There's nothing like that's not kid friendly in it. Like I mean, they fight the what are they creeps or whatever the zombie type creatures are.
Right.
And there's like skeletons and stuff, but not it's like not scary. It's not like there's nothing like adult in it really. The puzzles are pretty easy. There's some light crafting that you do, but most like the recipes are kind of like they're there, so like you know what you're building. Mm-hmm. But it's very much a Telltale game, like dialogue heavy, quick time heavy. So but yeah, it's I think it would be perfectly fine for a kid to play. So
all right,
I think the first like there's five seasons in the season pass, five episodes in the season pass, and then there's three additional episodes after that that continue the story out. And they're all pretty cool. Like one is like a Scooby-Doo type mystery. Another involves like a crazy computer that has made everybody into, like has like basically assimilated everybody. So you're trying to free them. And, then the final is like this. So it's pretty cool. It's a fun little Telltale game. Very well done. I know you don't like Telltale games, Tony, but
this is true.
But yeah, I think it's perfectly fine for a kid to play. That's it. Other than that, I've been playing like a ton of Fortnite, which we already talked about. News wise, I'm not really sure if there's a whole lot going on.
The only thing that I've been able to remember for the past week is that they announced that Spyro Remaster Collection and pretty much all that I've cared about for the past week and a half anyways. So
yeah, and that's actually pretty cool, is that like Spyro's coming and
yeah, it's the first three PlayStation original games and stuff.
And that's coming to everything, I think, right? Like
yeah, I don't believe it's originally PlayStation exclusive or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think it's just but I don't think it's on Switch at launch.
Okay. Those are the Insomniac games. The original ones.
PS4, Xbox One. In what, September, right? September 21. Just 3 weeks after, 2 weeks after Spider-Man comes to the PlayStation.
Right, and they showed some new Spider-Man footage. They announced the date of Spider-Man, which is what, early September, Pete?
Yes, September 7th.
Yeah. So there's some cool stuff coming out later this year. We're starting to get some more information, I guess. On what's coming, and E3 is
fast
quickly approaching. It's only about 2 months out now, so
oh god,
right? Rampage is getting
demolished.
It's getting mediocre reviews.
Oh, it's fun, but not good.
The Polygon review starts out with Rampage is a pleasant surprise.
Hey, has anybody seen... Does anybody play Wildlands?
I did, back in the day.
Okay, I couldn't remember if any of us on here played Wildlands, because they got that Sam Fisher mission in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the coolest thing to happen to that game. Granted, since The Predator, which was not like that long ago. But like, I kind of want to play Wildlands. Like, they're doing... Oh shit. But, like, I wouldn't have expected for a game that seemed like
DOA?
Not DOA, but just like, because it was popular, it looked like, but I didn't think they were gonna like kind of go nuts with it, and they were like, what if we just threw shit at the wall? Like, we're not gonna pretend like this takes place in any real area, in any sort of realistic form of planet Earth, but it's like, sure, here's the Predator, and then here's a mission with Sam Fisher. What? Michael Ironside back to play Sam Fisher.
It does seem pretty cool.
I demand a new Splinter Cell game to be announced at E3. Otherwise, Ubisoft is full of cowards.
Oh, well, as I was looking through the news here, kind of we didn't really touch on this, but Boss Key.
Oh, yeah.
They abandoned Lawbreakers.
Is this not the saddest thing that you have seen in the games industry in a long time?
It's pretty out there. Boss Key is they're kind of abandoning Lawbreakers and moving on. I guess they're not killing the servers for Lawbreakers, but
they said they like didn't attract the audience, and they were like, okay, we're not like, hey, one day we'll make this game free to play, but today is not that day.
And, right.
And oh, by not- the way, there's no. Oh, hey, by the way, here's a passion project. It's a battle royale. Oh God, I wish I hadn't left Epic before they made Fortnite.
Yeah, it's another battle royale game. I guess it's 80s hair metal themed.
Oh God,
it looks real dumb.
And evidently, it's kind of, like it is super early access.
Not early access enough though, where it doesn't have a way for you to dump real money in it though.
Yeah, you got to get that in there first, I guess. If you're
hey man, it's a passion project though. You got to remember that.
It's a scary looking thing.
It's so dumb.
It definitely does like kind of feel like his company here is chasing after you know, that popularity thing.
The company where he made his name.
Yeah, and he was there when he announced Fortnite on the Microsoft stage. At E3, like this was back before, well before he left. So,
yeah, right. And I can't blame him for maybe thinking the game was never going to be an actual game because it was announced and then no one ever heard about it again for another 6 years.
Yeah, and what he left, like was certainly not the battle royale thing. Like that came along well later. Like
yeah, but man.
Yeah, but
like this just—it just isn't a good look, in my opinion. Like we thought it was scummy that like it might look scummy that like Epic so blatantly like took a game that had nothing to do with, you know, battle royales, and then was like, oh, we can make a battle royale like PUBG, and we'll make it free and all this stuff. And but this is like this is sad. This is this is almost bordering on pathetic, I think.
Well, because at the very least, you could go that Fortnite really, like when they released Fortnite Battle Royale, like it was, you know, it was a polished thing. Like it ran well.
It didn't just not work.
Yeah. Like it wasn't, like, yes, it's technically in beta or whatever, but it's not like there are unfinished assets. Like
you actually can't, there's no female player model in the game. It just says coming soon on it. Like
it's nuts.
The whole thing is dumb and just kind of sad. Like what does Cliff Bleszinski do when he goes home? Does he just like beat his head against a brick wall with a sign that says "I should have stayed at Epic longer"? Like
have you noticed he hasn't been on Twitter nearly?
I don't follow Cliff Bleszinski at all. I don't care what he has to say, but like I just think it's super funny that.
Until this thing had happened, I hadn't seen him on Twitter in like weeks and weeks and weeks.
I don't know if he's said a whole lot since the launch. Like I saw a couple things the day that they made the announcement, and then I saw a couple things the day it launched from him and from his wife. But that was it. Like I haven't seen anything from either of them since then. So
yeah, I don't know. It just like. It's funny in a really sad way where like it just like Lawbreaker's lack of success just made you realize that Cliff Bleszinski may actually be the definition of a one-shot wonder, like one hit wonder. Like he got lucky with Gears and he was like, oh man, I'm Cliff Bleszinski, I'm Cliffy B man, I'm gonna go make my own studio, my own thing, and make this thing. And then, like, now granted, he had the unfortunate pleasure of releasing in the same year as Overwatch, and any shooter that had like characters and sort of a team based objective thing kind of got swallowed by the black hole that was Overwatch.
Oh, yeah, like it released at the worst possible time,
but it was also just a bad game. Like, I played it in one of its
I haven't played it
like in one of its open betas, like, I don't know how far along it was. It just wasn't fun. Like, it had a bunch of modes and stuff and a bunch of characters. And, like, he was trying to mesh, like, old Unreal-style mechanics with, like, character roles and powers and stuff. And I don't know. I think it was just, like, kind of ugly. And people were like, I can just go play Overwatch.
I mean, I don't know if I would go so far as to say Cliff is a one-hit wonder. Like, he worked with, like, Tim Sweeney on creating Unreal, Unreal Tournament. And,
oh, I'm sure he has know-how, but, like, I don't think his name had the cachet he believed it did.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like, after, like, he probably thought, like, all right, Gears 3, I'm done, I'm out. Like, it's time to go do the next big thing.
Remember, he took quite a bit of time off too. Like,
right.
He left Epic in 2012, and he didn't start Boss Key until 2014. So,
right.
I
just feel like maybe he didn't read the room as well as he thought he did.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's probably true. I mean, you have to figure he was thinking that I'm Cliffy B, I make great shooters, here's a great shooter, everyone will come play my shooter.
Right.
Right.
It didn't happen because he didn't make something that was interesting, unique, anything like that.
No, and like it also just looked like he was making a worse Overwatch. Just like Battleborn looked like a worse Overwatch. Like, and you know, granted, whether or not those comparisons are valid or not, that's what people thought.
Like, oh, yeah. I love shooters. Chris loves shooters. We didn't play this game.
Yeah, and I also think, like, just kind of the way he released it, too. Like, oh, well, I'm going to release it on PC, which is not really where I play my shooters. And then, like, I'm only releasing on PlayStation. Like, I'm not working with Xbox. So, okay. Well, I don't like playing my stuff on PS4 and... All right, that's cool.
Yeah,
you'll see you later, Cliffy B, when you get something that I actually want to play.
Right, like when you come out, and then like the word of mouth on it was, this is not great. So like, why would we jump over there to give it a shot? And Radical Heights just, whew, like,
yeah,
it's something.
Listening to the Giant Bomb guys talk about that game, I was just like, oh my god, like it reeks of. Please God, buy this game, or else the whole studio will shut down. Like you know, like ammo crates are just floating rectangles. The apartments are gray squares. There's only one player model. But hey, man, if you want, you can buy $15 worth of cosmetics or something available in the store right now.
And maybe what he needs is to have that structure of a bigger studio around him.
Yeah, maybe he's not meant for, like...
being in charge of it all, right?
Yeah. Like, which is why, like, you know, to give Ken Levine some credit, right, is why he eventually sold his studio to 2K. Where he was just like, I want to write the game and direct it, but, like, I don't want to run the damn thing. Like the studio itself, right? Like, he was very project-focused, and he was like, by giving myself to a publisher... they handle all of that stuff. Like, they give me a producer, and then I just go into a room and I come out, and here's Bioshock Infinite, right? Like,
yeah. And I know that, like, see, at least when he was with Epic, like, he had Epic kind of to protect him and rein him in, and like his big ego could be supported by the fact that Epic is a huge company. But I know Fozzie, like, you have like major issues with Cliffy,
yeah.
And like, I'm sure that like, as him being in charge of Boss Key, like you have almost zero interest in anything he has to do over there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with him now. I guess like I kind of gave him some flack in the past, but he seems passionate about games. It just seems that maybe he's just, you know, not as. Obviously, you know, Gears of War was incredible, but it seems like Epic's doing, you know, really well without him. I really do wish him, like, success. It's just, it's kind of weird to go with this Radical Heights thing. It just seems like, yeah, like, people will probably play for a week or two, but It's almost like Battle Royale is social media, right? And you have like the Twitter, which
right, there's
like
Twitter PUBG, and Facebook,
and then like Facebook is Fortnite, and then you've got like all the other
right. Peach social and Vero media,
Peach and Vero and stuff, where it's like, yeah, oh yeah, this is cool because it does all these things that these other ones, the big wigs, won't do or can't do, or you know, it's much cleaner. But it's like at the end of the day, if you don't have the people to support it and back it up, it's just not going to be it won't hold weight. So it's good that I think it's free to play, right? Like you don't have to pay money to play Radical Heights right now, at least. Okay. So
pretty sure that is
just nice. So like hell, I'll probably even check it out too. But from what I've seen, I watched Giant Bomb play Quick Look. It looks really quiet. It's like they kind of just, oh God, like I would hate to be kind of in that media room and just be like, oh my God. Like, cause I heard it was done in 5 months, right? So everyone's probably like, oh shit, like PUBG's taking off and
Battle Royale.
Oh fuck it. We've got, you know, the stuff to do this. Let's just throw something in a blender, you know, and then just abandon the other project and just go for this. So
I'm just like perplexed by who thought it was a good idea to make a battle royale game like based on like Airheads.
Right. Yeah. Like, exactly. And it looks kind of weird. It's like it's got like squares instead of like a generic like circle. So
and yeah, it's zone based, which could be interesting. Like it does now to its credit, it does seem like they're at least not like copying and pasting the format. Like they do have these interesting things about like involving the in-game currency and ATMs. Like you can
bank it,
or and then you can use that money in future rounds to just immediately get a good weapon instead of having to loot it in the game and stuff. Like, and they're good experiments, but I don't think like anyone's gonna care.
Yeah, like, problem is
like you look at H1Z1, which has been around for actually longer than PUBG, and like
dude, that's been around for years.
Nobody cared about that game until they put cars in it, right? Like that vehicle mode at least seems like a neat idea. And even Hunt, like what is it? The Hunt Shadowed or the Crytek one?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like that game is like a battle royale on the book cover, and then on the inside it's like a weird like mishmash. Like it seems like it's doing something so wildly different that could find its own niche success, where it's like, yeah, it's a big map, it's got players, but it's objective based and you're not necessarily trying to hunt the people, you're just competing with them to see who gets to the objective first. Like it just feels like maybe he's not trying enough different. It's just like, hey, what if it was squares instead of circles?
Right, and what if it, like, the way we do it is, like, we snake it or something instead of, I mean,
hey. Man, that's what he has to do, man. Instead of, like, zones or a wall, give me a giant snake that chases me from one zone to the other.
The thing is that also it plays too much like PUBG. Like, why not, like, I actually love the Battle Royale, like, premise. There was someone out there that was talking about, what if it was just like space battles and it was a battle royale or something, or like Sea of Thieves, where it was, you know, just you on a ship with your team and.
Oh, I got good news for you about that. Ubisoft is making that game called Skull and Bones or whatever.
Is it battle royale though? I didn't know that.
It's not like 100 boats, but I think it was like it's meant to be a bunch of boats.
Give me 100. I refuse none less. So, but you know what I'm saying? Or like a motorcycle or like a Twisted Metal. I don't know. But the fact that they're like, hey, it's essentially PUBG, but goofier and 80s theme. It's trying to be original and it's not original at all. And so there's kind of issues with that. And so it's not, I just don't see it being successful, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame, because like if they are trying new things like that could work, that would be cool, but I don't know if there's a lot of room for that.
Yeah, at this point, you have to switch it up. You have to make something different.
Because Fortnite kind of has the lock on, like, kind of goofy, cartoonish Battle Royale, where PUBG is the more serious brand of game.
And it's kind of like League of Legends is, like, the superior one over Dota, right? And isn't it kind of like that?
The analogy is literally the same, where it's
like the goofier,
easier game is the more popular one, and like the more mechanically nuanced one is like the one that was first, but is not like the most open to immediately all the players. I mean, the difference being that Dota is also free, like League of Legends, while PUBG is still $30. But like,
right?
Which is surprising.
I bet by the end of the year, this game is free to play. Like, they're moving into that with weapon skins and dance emotes and all that shit. Like, eventually a storefront will pop up and they'll be like, it's free to play now, and everyone who paid $30 gets a bunch of shit they didn't ask for.
They started adding DLC to the Xbox version.
Oh, finally.
What did they?
Nike, yeah.
I think they said, like, eventually the desert map is supposed to show up.
Yeah, in May. Which I might jump back in then.
I always jump back in when you toss me some achievements.
It has achievements on PC, so they should be coming.
Right. Why aren't there achievements on the Xbox version?
Because I don't know if you can put achievements in a game that isn't officially released yet. I don't know
what Microsoft can. They definitely can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they've had early access achievements. Because I got some in a what's that flight game? Elite Dangerous. Before that came out. So I got that.
Okay.
Both games, though, are interesting in that they're trying new things. They're trying new game modes, and there's the jungle map on PC for PUBG, and Fortnite has like a bunch of different like little, like, you know, their seasonal game modes or timed game modes. But
I almost kind of missed the times before Fortnite, though, when PUBG was like our little trash baby, where it was just like, oh, this doesn't play well at all, and it's like, oh my god, they're actually like incorporating a like leap over mechanic.
Yeah,
it's like that was epic. It's right. Like that seems lazy as fuck, but it's something new, so this is awesome. And then it's like, oh my god, I'm actually playing with 30 frames a second. This is incredible.
It's
like Fortnite just like gives you this complete package, and now PUBG has to kind of like get serious and, you know, move out of mom's house and be like, well, we got to kind of take ourselves seriously now because there's competition. So I kind of missed that brief 6 months of only PUBG and nothing else. And, you know, it was just really garbage, actually. But it was like
untamed land.
For sure. It was Wild West. And it's like, we don't know what this is. It was
like, what does this even mean? Like, there was no formula established. I kind of liked... Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I mean, it was janky as fuck, but it was janky in a way where you were like, I'm getting in on the advent of something new.
Yeah, everybody was learning at the same time with it, right? Like, so.
Yeah. I still play it. It's still fun.
Yeah.
Like, I like the calm before the storm mechanic. Like, I feel like, you know, Fortnite does that thing where it's like, man, if you don't have any attention span and you just need to shoot people real quick, we got you.
It can, like, you can, like, land, like, you can land in a spot and just get right into shooting, right? Like, and you can also, like, land outside of the populated areas and play it at a slower pace, and more of, like, a survival type, you know, kind of like a PUBG, but where the games are over quicker. Because I spent 10 minutes hiding under a staircase earlier tonight, like, which is definitely a PUBG thing. But then the problem is like when you get down to those final 10 or 5 or 10 people, like they're all building. So if you're not good with that aspect of it,
yeah, I mean, then you are fucked.
Yeah, because like at that point, nobody's gonna be sneaking into like the house that you're in for you to ambush them, because they're all building their forts at that point.
Right. No, I understand that for sure.
All right. Well, I think we do have a question here.
Oh, shit, dude.
Paul sent this one in before we just recorded last week. But so what's the hardest puzzle you've encountered in a game?
Oh, I know my immediate answer to this. Oh, my God. Okay, so in Silent Hill 3, or in Silent Hill 2 and 3 specifically, you can set both the combat difficulty and the puzzle difficulty.
Yes.
And if you set the puzzle difficulty to maximum in Silent Hill 3, the first puzzle requires you to literally know Shakespeare in order to figure out the answer. Like,
ooh, sign me up.
You are supposed to, it's basically a keypad you go into this bookstore, and in order to get into the back office, there's a keypad. And in order to figure out what it is, you get these books, and it's like, normally the puzzle just like has like code written on it. You just kind of have to rearrange the books in order for the numbers to show up. But the hardest level has none of that, and it just is like gives you these sample pages, and you're supposed to decipher the number based on the passages.
That's cool.
I was just like, what?
Send me up. I want to.
What? Like, excuse me? Oh my God. Like, and my brain just like fell apart. I was like, I can't. I was not made for this.
You guys have any other ones?
Not what sure was that stupid game that Jeff liked?
The Witness?
Which one?
The Witness. Yes, The Witness. The
Witness was fucking...
There were a bunch of annoying puzzles in that game that were just based on the mood of the developer, which makes it really hard to figure things out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped playing after I got to one. I was like, this is garbage.
Yeah, it is.
I'm leaving.
There are some really cool puzzles in that game that are interesting to figure out. And then there are some other ones where the developer's like, I kind of like to mess with you here, so I'm going to do that. And you're not going to be able to figure out what it is without a guide. So, fuck you.
Yeah. And once I was like, oh, I need a guide, I was like, I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah. You can't get through that game without a guide because some of the puzzles are just, you're going to look at this little tiny leaf over here, and if you can't find it, then you can't figure it out. By the way, none of the other puzzles in this block have anything to do with this leaf. And Jeff is like, oh my God, this game is brilliant. And I'm like, Jeff, shut up.
Yeah, it's... That's one of those things where puzzle games need to stick to their own rules. Because if you don't, then they just become frustrating, and they're no fun.
Yeah. Or even like a nice takeoff on the rules. Like there were some cool puzzles in that game. I'm not going to lie. There was some very interesting stuff. And then there were a bunch that were just garbage. It had nothing to do with anything and stupidity.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
I played Braid. I beat it. And it was really tough.
Dude, man, Braid. Oh my God. That section when you get the, wedding ring eventually. God, fuck off.
Yeah, so I think that was probably the hardest one that I actually beat, as far as puzzle wise.
Nothing reminds me that I am like just absolutely stupid as fuck, like playing
puzzle. There's a bunch of games that I've played where I don't know, like you've just been playing too long, and you get to the puzzle, and it's just like, what the hell is this? And you get frustrated at it, but then you come back the next day and like you get it the first try. Like,
yeah.
It's, so I don't know. Like nothing's jumping out at me particularly as to like what the hardest puzzle was, but yeah. All right. Well, we will be back for episode 400 next week. We did get a suggestion. I'll have to find it. On what we should do. So,
oh, good, because
it was the 400 best things about Tony, right?
Sure. Yes, that
I
was.
Mean, what that's, I had that's an idea, but it just involved us arguing a whole lot. So I don't know if that's actually what we want to do.
I know whittling that list down to 400 is going to be tough. So,
yeah,
I wanted to do the best 100 games of all time, but it was just like a 7-hour podcast of us yelling at each other about.
That would be a lot of yelling.
Yeah. It would mostly be Jeff like being unable to speak properly about why Breath of the Wild is the number one game.
Hey, so salty.
Evan and Chris eventually agreeing with him.
Yeah, fine, Jeff. Why. You're right.
Fine, it's fucking 3 a.m. Please let us go to bed.
Hey, gotcha.
You win, Jeff. Breath of the Wild is the best ever.
Nice.
All right, we'll be back next week. Fozzie, say goodnight.
Goodnight.